Hi there, welcome back to lesson seven. I know you can't see me, and that's the whole point of the next couple of lessons, is instead of looking with your eyes, I want you to listen with your intuition. I want you to listen with your heart. I want you to listen with your emotions and with your feelings instead of with your ego and with your eyes. It's interesting to me that ego and eyes both begin with the letter E, and they're both very similar. You see, when it comes to earth survival tools, which is what we're going to be talking about in this lesson, lots of times when we think about Mother Earth and we think about being in a survival 911 situation, we think about the things that we can see. So immediately we think, okay, well, we're going to need wood and we're going to need water. And we look around us to see what are the tools that can help us survive and keep us alive. Those things are very, very obvious, and they're very much based on ego. Listen, you're not wrong. You would need wood and you would need water and you would need, trees for shelter. But there's so many more things that Mother Earth can tell us and guide us just by tuning in and feeling her vibration. The fact is that Mother Earth is an entity all of her own, and she has so many things to offer to us if only we are willing to listen, to truly, truly listen. There are a lot of different scenarios and situations that could happen and lead to your life to being in a survival situation. It doesn't necessarily have to do with what's going on right now in 2022 with regards to war. It can have something to do with an accident. It can have something to do with a natural disaster. It can have something to do with outer space. Who knows? But the most important thing is that you know how to tune in to the energy and to the rhythm of Mother Earth around you. It didn't happen for me immediately as I began my psychic and mediumship abilities. You see, in the beginning, I was studying connecting with spirits on the other side, as well as connecting with people's auras and reading their energy and giving them psychic messages and readings. I was very focused on connecting with spirit, angels, guides, loved ones, but I wasn't really thinking about the world's energy. I remember thinking that it was kind of woo-woo or very like hocusy pocusy, if you will, that I was reading about all these predictions that other psychics and mediums were making. I would hear things that Sylvia Brown had said, and I used to think, oh, yeah, right. And it isn't because I wasn't able to do it. It was because I had never attempted, nor had I tried to do it. The thing is that as you go along and continue to use your gifts as a psychic and as a medium, you'll continue down this path where your abilities get stronger and stronger and stronger. And not only are you tuning in to guides and angels and loved ones, but you're tuning in to the energy of the water, the trees, locations, places, other countries, people around you, vibrations, energies, cultures, you name it. You begin picking up on everything. So when you have a really bad day and you feel uneasy and unsettled and anxious, and you wake up the next morning and you hear that there's been a mass shooting or an earthquake or a tornado somewhere, it begins to make perfect sense. You suddenly start to be able to connect the dots all around the globe to realize that indeed you do know what's happening, and sometimes you know long, long before it's actually happened. So, how do you stock your emergency kit in survival intuitive mode? You listen. And I think that's been the theme of this entire course that you're taking. But by listening and tuning into Mother Earth, you're going to need to spend time with her. And not the kind of time that I used to spend. I used to spend time putting in my flowers and putting in my garden. And I used to spend time outside throwing the ball for my dogs. And I used to spend time, I think, oh, I spent a lot of time on the deck today reading a book. I'm talking about being tuned in to Mother Earth. When was the last time you leaned your back against a tree and felt the energetic vibration and the healing and the shifts that that tree has to give you? When was the last time you put your feet on the grass and you did some earthing and grounding, drawing up the power of Mother Earth to keep you healed and healthy? I can tell you that the most beautiful day I think that we've had thus far was Saturday and Sunday this spring, this past weekend for me. And I only, during the time over the Christmas holidays when I was really sick with COVID, I just kept praying that I could get to spring and summer because there was nothing more than I wanted than to breathe fresh, clean, cool, warm air and to place my feet on the grass and feel the earth beneath me. Earthing is so vital to our senses, to our emotional, our physical, our mental, and our spiritual well-being. That is a survival tool. There is a reason why, as children, we want to run around in bare feet. We intuitively know that we're supposed to. I guess the thing about hearing me is because maybe you're feeling what I'm saying a little bit more than rather than seeing. And that's what I'm talking about. Instead of looking out on your beautiful deck as you put up your flowers and you set all the lawn furniture the right way, that's not where I'm asking you to go. You know that song, Into the Thick of It, Into the Thick of It? That's where I'm asking you to go. On forest hikes, on ocean walks, on creek bedded, guided, losing yourself in nature, on walks through pastures of tall grass and blowing wheat, on placing your hands into the dirt and feeling the vibration and the energy of the location that you are. You know, as the settlers were moving their way to the West and they settled in certain places, they used their intuition to make the decisions about where they wanted to live, where they thought they should plant. All of those things, those were ingrained in them by listening to Mother Earth. Listening. Now, I don't want to leave this lesson until I do give you some really grounded survival tools and advice that will help you on Mother Earth, if there is some sort of natural disaster or something that goes on. The first thing is you're going to need a compass and you're going to need a map. And by the way, you're also going to need some books. Think of it. If there's something that goes on and you have no power and you have no internet, you can no longer Google what bark or mushroom or plant or herb that you can eat or that you can't eat. So, you might want to think about getting some books on plants, herbs, flowers, how to grow gardens, how to raise your own chickens, all of those things. You are definitely going to want to stock up on books, a map so that you know where you're going and how you're getting there, and a compass. Listen, if you asked me prior to 2020 if I had a compass or a map, I would tell you I do not. Do I now? Woohoo, yeah, I do. I absolutely do. I need to know where I'm going, how I'm getting there, and if there is a 911 situation, which the preppers call bug out, I want to have the details. The next thing is fire starters. You're going to need warmth in the cold, so you're going to need to make sure that you either have some porcupine or porcupines, some pine cones. You could have porcupines. I don't think they'll help you start a fire though. But you're going to want to have a waterproof box and you're going to pack it with at least two lighters, some weatherproof matches, a flint, and a small magnifying glass lens because we all know that you can use that to start a fire. And you can also buy a package of sparklers and cut the stems off because they make excellent emergency fire starters for moist leaves and for kindling. I also love, a lot of people will take pine cones and they will dip them in beeswax. And they also make really good fire starters. Don't forget, you're going to want to have a first aid kit. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Also, make sure that you have ointments and alcohol, peroxide, pain relievers. Hey, think about it. If something happens and our internet was to crash, the doors to the stores are not opening. You require an internet connection for those big doors to open. I'm not saying that there's not an emergency door or side door, but listen, there's going to be a lot of things shut down that you're not going to be able to get to. And having medicine, asthma, inhalers, aspirin, antihistamines, anything that you need if you're a diabetic or if you're allergic to something, or creams or burn ointments, you're going to need a first aid kit. You're also going to want a mirror, and a mirror might be a vanity item for some people, but it can also help you survive a worst case scenario. So if you're able to find food, water, and shelter, then you're giving yourself a leg up survival wise, but you still need to find rescue or help if you want to make it home. And so the trick to this mirror is really important. Any old small mill will work for signaling other people, but companies actually make them specially suited for this purpose, and you can get them on all kinds of survival websites online. They're typically made of something besides like breakable glass, like a plexiglass. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. Some of them also float and they have nylon ties around them. But signal mirrors work best on a clear day with direct sunlight, and you can use them to signal other family members, people on your property or on your land, or to signal for help. You also might want to think about some flares, especially if it's not a world disaster and it's just something going on in your immediate area and you're needing to get help, such as someone that might be looking for you, search parties, any of those things will come in handy as well. The next thing is a knife. A survival knife is a big deal. And living on a ranch, my kids can tell you that they all have pocket knives and they always know where they are at all times. You never know if you have a horse that's caught up and you need to cut something free, obviously doing chores and bales of hay. But this is also going to be one of the most important things if you are happen to be in survival mode. Next thing is a good old Leatherman, a multi-tool. It's got everything on there, and trust me, you never know when you want to cut your fingernails. Leatherman is the most widely recognized multi-tool, but there are other ones out there. I just think Leatherman has got really great quality, and it's got a saw blade and a poker and a can opener and a screwdriver and serrated knives and metal files and Allen wrenches, and you just never know when you'll need it. The other one is you are going to have to recognize that if you're outside and if you are in survival mode, you might be dealing with some things in your area. So if you're living in Arizona, maybe you need some type of snake venom. There's rattlesnakes and things like that. If you're living in Edmonton, where I'm living, mosquitoes are a huge thing in the summertime, and you have to think about the elements and frostbite and the things that you could be dealing with in the wintertime. Then you don't want to forget about water treatment. You have to have water, and it has to be drinkable. Humans just can't live without it. You might be able to live a few weeks without food, but without water, you're out of luck. So you should be having a purifying water, or water filters can be a really great option. They come in all kinds of sizes and prices, and you might want big or little. And you know what? There's a water purifier that's literally a straw. True story. You can go to the river and drink out of the straw with that, and it will purify your water. You can do all kinds of research on that, but I definitely think it's something worth looking into. And last but not least, you're going to want a bigger knife. You're going to want something that will be able to get you through a forest, be able to cut down trees, an axe possibly to be able to chop firewood. You're going to need something a little bit more substantial than that small pocket knife that you want. You're going to want something a little bit bigger. Listen, I know that that was a very practical, grounded lesson with regards to survival and the earth, but I just felt like I couldn't teach you this course without giving you, hey, these are the 911 survival things. I think if you don't want to stock your pantry and worry about food and you know, completely going down the, prepper hole, I think that there are just smart things that you need to have. It makes sense to have extra batteries and flashlights, and it just makes sense. And so along with using Mother Earth to help you provide and to connect with you, and not just the obvious things, the things that you can intuitively connect with, teaching you where you need to be, where you need to go, what you need to do, teaching you what trees can bring you peace and what energy is from every property and what the moon has to offer you on the full moon or the new moon, and where she's cycling and why she's cycling like that, and when is a good time to harvest and not harvest. All those things, they matter. Earth has survival tools of her own. The plants and the herbs are obvious ones, but the energy in the Mother Earth and as it shifts and flows is the most important one. I look forward to connecting with you in lesson 8. It's going to be another audio lesson. Make sure you have a pen and paper because you might want to write some notes. I'll talk to you soon.